In Hebrews chapter 11, we read of Faith's Hall of Fame. That's what I call it, Faith's Hall of Fame. And we're led through Faith's Hall of Fame by the Holy Spirit of God as He points out one Old Testament Bible character after another and says to us, in essence, he, she lived by faith. And here they are listed in Faith's Hall of Fame. And when we come to verse 21 of Hebrews 11, we read, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And that's all we read of Jacob there in Faith's Hall of Fame. He blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. This is a very touching scene. And as we open this chapter and read, we are allowed to peek in, as it were, and read about this incident that is spoken so briefly of in Hebrews chapter 11. When Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. So, Genesis chapter 48 and verse 8. And Israel, remember, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, but we constantly think of him as Jacob. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon Ephraim's head, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall be a people, and he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh, And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. This is indeed a touching scene. Let's go back and let's think of Isaac being blind. And he said to Esau, who was the hunter, go out and get me some venison. He said, I don't know when I'm going to die, but I want some venison. Go out and get me some venison. So Esau leaves the scene. You're familiar with the story, I would think. So while Esau is gone, Rebekah said to her son, I'm going to give you some food. It's some goat meat. And we're going to pretend that it's venison. And I want you to go into your father so that you can receive the blessing of the firstborn. I'm giving it to you in my words. So that you can get the blessing of the firstborn. And so following the instructions of his mother Isaac, Jacob pretends to be Esau. He said to his mother, he said, but Esau is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. She said, in essence, I'll take care of that. So she put some goat hair on the back of his neck, on the back of his hand. Just pretend to be Esau. And so Jacob deceived his father. Scripture bears out the teaching in many different ways. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so Jacob goes in, and he pretends to be Esau, and he gets the blessing of the firstborn. He's the secondborn, remember, and we'll go to Genesis 25 and see that. But he gets the blessing of the firstborn. Now, when Esau comes back and learns that Jacob deceived his father and received the blessing of the firstborn, he was terribly upset. He was mad, and he determined when the time was right, he was going to kill Jacob. Why was he so upset? Well, you'd have to understand something of the blessing of the firstborn, which was indicated by the father putting his right hand upon the head of the firstborn, giving that blessing. And the right hand upon the head of the firstborn indicated that here is one of priority, one of dignity, one of supremacy. And the blessing of the firstborn carried with it privileges, power, and preeminence. And so Jacob deceived his father and stole that blessing, the blessing of the firstborn. Esau determined to kill his brother. Now, as we are allowed to view this scene way back then, when Jacob or Israel blessed the sons of Joseph, as we think about him being mentioned in Faith's Hall of Fame, we are, at first, like Joseph, we are wondering what's happening here. Because Joseph took his two sons, Ephraim in his right hand, to move him toward Jacob or Israel's left hand. He took Manasseh, the firstborn, into his right hand and moved him toward Jacob's, with his left hand and moved him toward Jacob's right hand. So that Jacob would put his right hand upon Manasseh's head and his left hand upon Ephraim's head. Manasseh was the firstborn. Ephraim was the secondborn. And here is Jacob himself now blind. He cannot see, we read. His eyes were dim for age so that he could not see. And so when it came time to give the blessing, He switched his hand. And we wonder, what's going on here? Joseph thought the same thing. He said, not so, my father. Maybe Joseph thought, well, Dad is a little mixed up here. Not only blind, but maybe he's losing it. Not so, my father. Manasseh is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head. Though Jacob was blind so that he could not see, his spiritual vision was 20/20. He knew exactly what he was doing. Because he had learned the lesson that God intended to teach at the time of his birth. With that, go back to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And we'll just pick up at verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Let me just pause to say that being in God's will doesn't mean that there are no difficulties. Being in God's will doesn't mean that the sky is going to always be blue and the road is always going to be smooth. Being in God's will does not mean that there will not be any obstacles, any difficulty in our life. And so Rebecca's having difficulty with this. My, if this is of the Lord, why am I having so much difficulty here? Verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, from thy innermost being. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Would you please make a note of that? The elder shall serve the younger. I am turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I am reading from verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, here we have this truth in a different connection, but the truth that I am conveying tonight in all of this is a principle that is emphasized here. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul brings before us two men. The first man, Adam, and the second man, the Lord from heaven. It's interesting that Adam is spoken of as the first man and the Lord Jesus as the second man. I've had people to ask me, do you believe that there were human beings on planet Earth before Adam and Eve? My answer is I can only look to the Bible, which says that Adam was the first man. And I have to leave it right there. Adam was the first man. So we have Adam, the first man. And we have the Lord Jesus spoken of as the second man. We have the first Adam, and the Lord Jesus is spoken of as the last Adam. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Christ is spoken of as the second man, but the last Adam. Why is that? Well, Adam was the first man. He was the father man. He was the federal man, that is head of the human race. He leads the column, if you please, of the human race. He was the federal man, and he is the figure man. Adam was the first man, the natural. The second man is the spiritual, the Lord from heaven. So, the one who is second really is the most important. In all things, he is to have the preeminence. Please understand what I'm seeking to convey to you. Now, we had the privilege of remembering our Lord Jesus Christ in his death just a little bit ago. And I would presume that all in this audience are saved. That might not be the case. I'm presuming that that is the case. It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to know God as your Father, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren, to know that we are in the family of God. There was that time when that was not the case. You see, in thinking of the spiritual person, we're thinking of the second. The first person is the natural. When we were born naturally. We were born with that old Adamic nature. We were the natural. And there came that time in our life when we heard the gospel message, when we meditated upon the Lord and the things of God, the Holy Spirit of God worked with us, brought us under conviction, and we were made to realize that we need to be born again. We need to be transformed. We need a new life in Christ. We need to be born from above. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, from what Peter tells us in his second epistle, chapter 1, we became partakers of God's divine nature. Now, when we were saved, the old Adamic nature was not eradicated. We still have the old nature, but now as Christians, we have this new nature. That came second. We have this new nature. The old is the natural. The new is the spiritual. Now, which is to have the dominance or preeminence? Why, the new nature, of course. So Jacob finally learned the lesson. I say finally because he had such a checkered career. Jacob finally learned the lesson that God intended to teach at the time he was born. The sovereign God knew that Esau would picture the natural. And he knew that Jacob would picture the spiritual. Now that's not new, is it? We think of other boys in the Bible. We think of Cain and Abel. Cain pictures the natural. Abel pictures the spiritual. We think of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael pictures the natural. Isaac pictures the spiritual. And we think of, we always say Jacob and Esau, but Esau was the firstborn. Because he pictures the natural, Jacob pictures the spiritual. Now, God in his sovereignty, knowing that, determined that Esau would be born first, since he's going to picture the natural. And Jacob would be born after that. He would be born second because he would picture the spiritual. So Jacob finally learned the lesson that God intended to teach at the time of his birth. The elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. Now, in and through Jacob, and we would include Esau too, but we're thinking particularly of Jacob. In and through Jacob, God intended to teach at least two things. At least two things. Many others, but at least two things. First of all, he intended to teach the new birth. That for one to enter into the kingdom of God, for one to be in the family of God, for one to have fellowship, communion with God, there is a necessity that such a one be born again, that such a one become the spiritual. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at the other service. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 14, Paul said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." The natural man cannot understand the things of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh," the natural, "cannot please God." Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus, referred them back to the time when they were unsaved, children of wrath, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. And the Bible clearly teaches, as we know quite well, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And regardless what might be said concerning a person in the natural, what a contrast there is when we read they cannot please God. Of the unconverted, it might be said that he or she is gifted in many different ways, cultured, generous, maybe even religious. They might be honest in some ways, truthful to a great extent. All of this might be true, but in the flesh, they cannot please God. There must be the new birth. If a person is going to please God, if a person is going to bring honor and glory to God and be the instrument that God intends him or her to be, that person must be born again. I sometimes illustrate it this way. Think of a radio. Now, here is a receiver that will transmit on the AM as well as the FM. But the FM part of the receiver is broken. And this instrument can only give you the AM broadcast. And so a work must be done to bring about that both channels might be listened to. And so a work is done on this instrument, and now one is able to listen to the AM as well as to the FM part of the radio. Well, now think of the unsaved person, the natural person. They have just that one channel. Children of wrath, fulfilling the lusts of the mind and of the flesh, enslaved to Satan and to the world, regardless of what might be said about them commendably, but enslaved to self and to the world, they cannot transmit on the FM portion. They cannot. They must be born again. So when we are saved, we receive a new nature. John tells us in his first epistle, that which is born of God does not commit sin. And that is true. The new nature cannot sin. That's of God. The old nature cannot cease from sinning. Now, this is where the problem comes in, isn't it? The unsaved person doesn't have this conflict. They don't have the struggle that we Christians have as to whether or not it's going to be the AM or the FM. You see, before we were saved, the question was, is it going to be heaven or is it going to be hell? After we were saved, the question now is it going to be heaven or is it going to be earth? Are we going to live for the Lord or are we going to live for ourselves? And so one lesson God intended to teach at the time of Jacob's birth and in and through his life was this truth of the new birth. For Jacob to picture the spiritual, He had to learn this truth within himself. There must be a spiritual transformation in me, with me. Now, Esau didn't have to learn that. Jacob did. Another truth that God intended to teach at the time Jacob was born was that the new life has to take priority over the old life. I repeat, now that I'm saved, is it going to be heaven or is it going to be earth? Is it going to be the Lord or is it going to be me? Esau represents the natural, that which is flesh. Jacob represents the spiritual. And the elder, the flesh, the natural, shall serve the younger. In all things, the Lord Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence, which means that the Holy Spirit of God is to have his way with each one of us who names the name of Christ, so that Christ might be manifested in us. The elder shall serve the younger. Now, that is a difficult lesson to learn, is it not? My wife showed me a book the other day. I forget the title of it, but a book that she's now reading. She said, I want you to read a couple of paragraphs. And I read it out loud to our children and grandchildren last night as we were having dinner. And the book says something like this. The writer says that we start off on the wrong premise. We're thinking of ourselves. Now, I have my future before me. What am I going to do? What am I going to accomplish? What are my goals to be? And so on. But the writer emphasized the truth that as Christians, we are to think about the glory, the honor of God. Now, my life is before me as a Christian. How is this going to affect the honor and glory of God? I'm to do the will of God. I'm to accomplish His purpose in and through me. I repeat, it's a hard lesson to learn. So God foreknew that Esau would be a man after the flesh, and that Jacob would be a man after the Spirit, and so God determined that Esau would be born first. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read that Esau was a profane person, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, says the writer of Hebrews, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. So, the Bible tells us that Esau was a profane person. Profane. That word profane is the word profanus, or profanum. It means that which is outside the sacred enclosure. It came to mean that which is natural, which is not dedicated, which is not consecrated. Profane. That was Esau. When it was time for Bible reading in the home or meditation on the things of God, Esau couldn't care less. He was a man of the woods. He was a hunter. Like David, he could and possibly did tackle the wildest animals barehanded. He was a proverb of courage, of endurance and success in the chase. He could run as a deer. His ear was alert to the sounds of the woods. He was fast on his feet, quite a hunter, quite a man's man, as we would say. But he cared not for the things of God. He was willing to sell his birthright for a morsel of food. Cared nothing about the things of God. That was Esau. So he had nothing to learn, as Jacob did, to be the spiritual man. And oh my, how Jacob learned lessons. He deceived his father. And as I quoted earlier, the Bible says, we reap what we sow. That's in Galatians. We reap what we sow. But the law of sowing and reaping is this. We not only reap what we sow, that is, in kind, we reap more than we sow. Jacob deceived his father. And fearing his brother who wanted to kill him, he ran off to Uncle Laban's place. He was there for a number of years. His uncle deceived him. He worked 7 years for Rachel and found out the next morning, after Laban was supposed to give him Rachel, he found out next morning that he had been given Leah. So he worked 7 more years for Rachel. He was deceived. It doesn't stop there, though. You remember the brothers took Joseph's coat of many colors or many pieces and brought it to him with blood of an animal on it, leading his father to believe that Joseph had been killed. Once again, he was deceived. And surely Jacob thought about all of that. He thought about all of that. And then when it came that time when he was told or was made to realize that he was going to meet with Esau, whether he liked it or not, he was filled with fear. And maybe you know something of that account. Genesis 32. Here he is scheming and conniving once again. And that's Jacob. That's Jacob. I told you before that my name is James Edward Schwartz. James is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Jacob or Jacob. Jacob. It means deceiver, supplanter, schemer, always trying to get the best of the other fellow. A hands-on type of person. I can fix the problem. I can work this puzzle out. I can work through this difficulty. I think I can handle it. I think I can work it all out. That's Jacob. And so when getting news that Esau was coming, he had to come up with a plan. Let's see, what can I do? He did pray. I'll give him that. But here he gets so many animals together. You read the number in Genesis 32. And he's going to appease Esau. Well, Esau didn't kill him. He didn't want to kill him. And at first didn't want his gifts, but he finally received them. But after that, God had to struggle with him. God wrestled with him. And as such, God pinned him to the ground. Jacob wanted to be turned loose, and the angel of the Lord, which I believe was God himself, said, I'm not going to turn you loose until you tell me your name. Didn't he know his name? Yes. But he wanted Jacob to confess it. What is your name? And all the thoughts that went through his mind. What is my name? Deceiver, supplanter, schemer, conniver. That's my name, Lord. That's my... All right. You confessed it. You're going to be a different person from here on. Your name is going to be Israel, a prince with God. Israel. And so now, here we read of him in Faith's Hall of Fame that he blessed Joseph's two sons. But in Genesis 48, when he did it, he switched his hands, and Joseph wanted to remove his hands. Not so, my father. He said, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. As if to say, God intended to teach at the time of my birth that the elder shall serve the younger. And Joseph, I've had to learn two lessons in my life with all my scheming, all my planning, all my working things my way, wanting this or that the way I want it. I've had to learn some lessons. I've had to learn something about the new birth, a spiritual transformation with me. And I've learned, too, that this new man that you are seeing now, this new me, the second man, is the spiritual. And the elder, the first man, the elder shall serve the younger. Which means that we Christians are to be spiritual people. It's not my old nature. It's not my way. It's not what I want. But it's what the Lord wants. It's His will, not mine. The elder shall serve the younger. He said, I know it, my son. I know exactly what I'm doing. And he gave the blessing of the firstborn to the second man. Jacob had received it in a deceiving way, but he received it. And we read that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But that is because of the new person that we are. The elder shall serve the younger. That's a hard lesson for us to learn, isn't it? Because we do want things our way. I can work this out. I think I can bring this around. I know things seem to be going in a different direction, but I think I can work a little bit, and God would say, now just be still. You'll read that in Psalm 46. That's another message. But God said, and he refers to himself as the God of Jacob. God says, be still and know that I am God. I looked that word be still up in the theological workbook of the Old Testament. And Warren Wiersbe was right, according to his Hebrew teacher. He was right. Be still has a number of connotations, one of which means take your hands off. Take your hands off. Be still and know that I am God. And that's what God had to say to Jacob when he wrestled with him. I want you to be still and know that I'm God. And he learned that lesson. I know it, my son. The elder shall serve the younger. Oh, would to God that we would allow the Holy Spirit of God to have his way, that we would operate according to this truth, that the elder shall serve the younger. Join with me as we sing a cappella, Have Thine Own Way. Just the one verse.